All right. Are we wired for sound?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody, whether you're here or online. It's nice to welcome everybody here. And it's great to be back again. I was here a fortnight ago. There are a few more here this morning than there were then, but I don't know how many that were online then either. So it's good. I remember coming here many, many years ago, and somebody will tell me, no doubt, how long we've been here. Any idea, anybody, how long we've been here? Eunice? About 20 years. Wow. Okay. 20 years. Yeah. So I've been here before, obviously, and I remember Bruce and others setting it up in here so we could come in this pub and worship God. And why I'm saying that is because the first one we're going to sing together is "We have come into his house and gathered his name to worship him." And it doesn't actually say what kind of house it is, does it? It doesn't say we're coming to the church and worship him. It says we're coming to the house and worship him. So no matter where we are today, it doesn't really matter, because God's all around us anytime. So whatever house you're in, God is with you. Okay, so thank you very much. We'll sing this together.
Thank you.
So let's pray. So Lord, we have heard us sing that we've come into your house to worship you and to forget about our souls. So just for a short time, we try and do that. Forget about our souls and all the worries and cares, and we put our trust in you. But in our prayers, let's pray for Sarah Jane, Dennis, Joan, Chris and Sarah, Stuart and Jean, who are facing at the moment a challenge. So we pray for them. May they feel your presence with them. And we think about John, that's Bruce's dad. I've known him for many years. Used to sing with him in the gospel airs. So we've lifted him up to you. And may he realize that he's not forgotten. And we still think about him. And especially as well this morning, Eunice. And at this time, the loss of a loved one really hits hard. So we pray, Lord, that you will give her the strength to actually be reassured that you're with her in this time of sadness. But Lord, we know that though we are sad here, there will be rejoicing in heaven because Bruce is with you there. So we give you thanks, Lord, that as Christians we believe there is life after this death on earth. So we give you thanks, Lord, for that. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. We're going to sing again together. It's only a short one, but it's another song of praise, and we're saying to God, you're the Almighty God, you're in charge of the world that we live in, and for you, the most thing of all, you're the Son, the Word of God, who was this Word of God and still is, and the power that you can had when you made this world, just with speaking words, you created everything. A lot of people miss that these days. Who created it? They're trying to find out in this world today who created it. We know who created it just by his word. So let's sing this song together. Almighty God, we bring you praise. Thank you.
Still winding up the gramophone.
For your son, the Lord.
that's a lovely song, but oh, we're going to have another album. No, we're not. Thank you. Slight technical hitch up. I've just on the printed paper here, Bruce has put in, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And when I used to sing with gospel airs, I used to sing one, "Nothing is impossible if you put your trust in God." So we thank you, Lord, for that, for those words. I've been a Christian for many years, and when I look back on my life, sometimes you can't see where God is in your life at times and what he's actually doing. But you look back over the years and you think, oh, that must have been why I did that, or why I said that, or where I was at the time, or whatever, everything like that. So this song actually says that, "Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, cheered us on our way." And we do need cheering at times, most of the time these days. "Sought us and saved us, and we have pardoned us, and also you provided us. For Lord, for the years, we give you what? We give you our thanks today. Not only for the today, but for the yesterdays, today, and for the years to come." So we thank you, Lord, that you're still with us today. So let's sing this together. "Lord, for the years." Thank you.
Straight in.
It comes straight in. Okay.
That's
not
Lord of our lives,
technical hitch up that was. Hope there's not another one now. Right, the reading for this morning is John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Okay.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that Jesus had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary," she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thank you. We'll come to that reading in a few more minutes, but we're going to sing another hymn, and we look at the words. I mean, Jesus has just been talking to Mary, and the hymn is this: "What kind of love is this that gave itself for me personally, and for you as well?" And the next word line is, "I am the guilty one," which we all are, "yet I go free. What kind of love is this? A love I've never known. I didn't even know his name. What kind of love is this?" A lot of people don't even know Jesus' name, but he still loves them, which is quite fantastic, isn't it? He loves us, but he loves everybody out there, everybody out in the world. It doesn't matter where. Jesus' love loves everybody. And my father-in-law used to a lot of time sing a really old one to himself. "Jesus' love is very wonderful." And that's to remind himself how much God meant to him and to everybody else. But let's sing this together. What kind of love is this?
Thank you.
The reading, and it's a very well known reading. So how good are you at recognizing people? How good are you at that? When I was, I don't know, probably 12 or 15, something like that, long time ago, I was in the Bus Brigade and we went to Albert Hall in London for a display. We were part of it. And we were walking in the park opposite Albert Hall with a couple of mates of mine. And one of them said, "Isn't that so-and-so?" And we all had a big discussion about this person walking towards us. And as he got closer, we all said, "Oh, yes. Yes, I think it's him, Benny Hill, all right?" So as he must have heard us, he must have heard us talking about him. And as we walked past and we're still discussing whether it's Benny Hill or not, he says, "You're right." And he walked straight on. "I am, you know, I'm that person." All right. I was sitting just on Meatfoot Beach. There's a cafe end at the end of Meatfoot Beach, far end, depending on which way you're coming on from Meatfoot Beach. But it's the far end, whichever, yeah. Anyway. And we had a cup of coffee, and I looked across, this is about 2 years ago, I looked across and I thought, "Oh, I know that lady," to myself. Now, it's no good asking my wife, Jan, whether anybody's anybody, because she always says if she had to go for identity parade, you know, somebody had done something wrong, and they'd got a line-up, she would definitely pick the wrong person, because we often look at television and she'll say, "No, I don't think it is." And when the credits come up, she was wrong. All right? So don't rely on yourself. Yes, don't rely on everybody to recognise everybody. Okay? But this person was sat having a cup of coffee with a friend. Anyway, with another person. And we both finished coffees at the same time. and we both got up, all got up, and started walking away. And as this approached the lady, I said, "Oh, good morning, Miss Marple. Isn't it a lovely day?" And this lady said, went into Miss Marple mode and said, "Yes, it is, isn't it?" And it was Virginia McKenna. All right. So apparently she lives in Torbay, somewhere. And I know that from my great nephew fits carpets for her. That's why I know she lives in Torquay. And there are lots of things in life that we recognise people, don't we? Or hopefully recognise people by sight. By sight. But we sometimes get it wrong, don't we? But what if we're in a bit of a state when we, like Mary was, and she'd seen Jesus many times, and yet she was there in the garden, Jesus was there, and she mistook him for somebody else, the gardener. I think sometimes we mistake people because either we don't recognize them, or it depends where we are in our life. And Mary was upset. So she wasn't thinking straight. Obviously she wasn't thinking straight. But what about recognizing people from a voice? I always used to recognize my mother's voice, especially when she was telling me off for doing something wrong. You couldn't mistake it, all right? But what about other people? Do we, when we look at the television or listen to the radio, we used to do when I was a boy, there's no such thing as television until 1950, whatever it was. Okay, and then you could hardly see it because the screen was so spotty, it was like snowing, wasn't it? Yeah, so we'd only got voices then. And we'd put the radio on and we'd listen to people like Ted Ray. Everybody remember him? All right, yeah. Gooncho, that was another. Gooncho, all right? And you'd know them by their voices, wouldn't you? You didn't have to see them because you recognised the voice. And I remember once going to see Rob Day when he wasn't very well at all. And I was stood with me, Jan, my wife, went with me, and we were stood in the porch, and we were chatting away to his wife, Sue. And a voice from another room said, "I know who that is." Why? Because he recognised my voice. He didn't have to see me. He knew who it was. Okay? Another chap that's no longer with us, like Rob, is a chap called Jim Wiper. I used to call him Windscreen. You don't understand why. All right. Now, Jean's not here, but she's got a distinctive accent, and so was Stuart, Scottish, so was Jim. But one of his wonderful sayings was, if you pick the phone up, he didn't say who it was, any time. You pick the phone up, look like that, and say, "Hello," and it say, in his accent, I can't do the Scottish accent, "Would you like to do something for the Lord?" And I thought, Jim, straight away, you couldn't mistake it, the voice, all right? And we might be like that with other people as well. You pick the phone up, you don't have to know the name. As soon as they start speaking, you know who it is. Or somebody in another room, you know who it is. There's a certain accent, isn't there, like mine. I can't get rid of my accent. It's there, you know. And an aunt of mine, my mum's sister, she was a lot younger than my mum, and she was still living with my grandparents, and we lived next door to them as a boy. And she started going out with this chap from Sheffield University. That's where I came from, Sheffield University. And he was from Gateshead. All right, Gateshead. All right, Gateshead. All right, And I told my mates at school that my aunt was going to marry a foreigner because I couldn't understand a word he said. Okay? So accents, voices, you get used to them. And I used to be able to pick it up. So my uncle said, I used to know it straight away as he started talking in another room or whatever. I knew it was there. What about other people? I'll just turn to, how do we know when God is speaking? I'm going to the book of Samuel, and I'm going to chapter 3 in Samuel 1, and it says this. Samuel's a boy. Okay. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. But he got called, did Samuel? And he mistook the voice, to be Eli, who was the priest. How many times? Three times. He heard what he thought was Eli calling him. First time, he got up, went to Eli and said, "You've called me to do something." "No, I haven't," he said. "I'll go." He went back to sleep. Then he heard it again. The voice. Not the voice on television. The voice. All right. And second time, Eli said, no, you got it wrong. Go back to sleep. You must have been dreaming." Okay. Third time, Samuel heard the voice. Went to Eli, and Eli twigged who it was, who was speaking. It wasn't him, it was God speaking to Samuel. Are we tuned in to God speaking to us? Samuel was only young and never heard the Lord's speaking to him before. So that's why Eli, a lot older, knew the third time that it was God speaking to him. Are we tuned in to what God is saying to us? I'll have to admit that not always, I'm talking personally now, not always. Do we get it right every time? No, we don't. Just like Samuel didn't get it right, and neither did Eli until the third time. I believe we're here today because God spoke to Bruce and others to open a church in here. Doesn't matter what church that was. Are we in tune with what God is saying to us from day to day? It's a big challenge, isn't it? And I've said before, we don't always get it right. So, always be open to God's voice calling to us. And even if it thinks, "Oh, I can't do it," or "It's a challenge," or "It's never been done before," or whatever it is, if it's God's will for it to be done, I believe it will happen. So, always have an ear tuned to what God wants to say to us, even in a place like this. It doesn't matter where we are. Who knows that this morning God isn't speaking not only to us, but to somebody out there. And it's a witness that, for one thing, that we believe God. The second, that God is still working through his Holy Spirit. We don't know in our daily lives what influence we have on other people. Not just on a Sunday, not just here. Our everyday lives are a witness to what God is doing in this world. So, lots of things happening around, aren't there? We look at the news and we think, "Oh my stars, that's dreadful." But God is still working his purposes out. As the hymn says, God's working his purposes out as year goes on to year. So if we think that we have no use, or we can't do anything, or it's no good anymore, wrong. We can. Because without God speaking to people, and without Christians in this world, it'll be a lot worse place. And God's still got something for us to do. So listen to the voice calling us. It could be very slight, like helping somebody with the shopping. It doesn't really matter. Going and seeing somebody. Making sure somebody's all right. It doesn't really matter. It's God who's doing that work through us. So we give thanks to God, don't we? For today, for every day, and for the people that we can influence in our daily lives. Samuel went on to be a prophet. And yet he was only a boy at the time. Who knows what God work we can do for him. All right. Okay. I hope that's been helpful. So keep the ears tuned to what God's got to say to us. Now we're going to have a prayer now. I think that's what it says, if I've got it right here. Yep. And we'll have a prayer, and then we're going to sing the last hymn together. Okay, let's pray to God. We give you thanks, Lord, for your care for us from day to day. You promise never to leave us or forsake us, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. Forgive us for the times when we don't remember that. We thank you, Lord, that you called us not only to come this morning, but you called us either in a short time ago or many years ago, because you still have work for us to do in this world that you created. We pray for our families and for our friends and for all those who are gathered, not only just in this bit of the pub, but everyone out there as well. Not only out there, but in the world today. We pray for Christians around the world who are witnessing through your Holy Spirit to people around them. So we give you thanks, Lord, once again, for each one of us, for our families and our friends. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, apparently, this last hymn, you sang it last week. Is that right? But you're going to sing it again this week. And I'll tell you how this hymn came about. It started off as a poem in Sweden in 1884. And the man was walking home from a church meeting in a thunderstorm, and he was given these words that we're going to sing in a few minutes. You can see from the first verse, "Oh Lord my God, when I am in awesome wonder," I wonder if the thunder and lightning inspired him because of that awesome, the awesome works your hand has made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, you see, thunderstorm. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. And then we go on to 1907. And it was translated from Swedish into German. Okay? So that's two languages already. Then we go on to 1912. And that was translated into Russian. There's lots of happening about Russia today, but don't forget there are Christians in Russia as well. Okay, and there were obviously when this in 1912. Let's ever forget, in all these countries that are having a but potato at the moment, there are Christians in there. Then we go on to 1938 by a Stuart Hine, who translated it into English language. So that's some years, isn't it? Then the first time it was actually sung was at a Billy Graham rally by Cliff Barrows, all right, in 1954. Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, it was written in 19, that's right, in Cliff Barrows. But then it was sung in Toronto in 1955, a year later. So, from start to finish, from a thunderstorm to actually be sung in English in 1955 took 71 years. 71 years to a hymn that's world renowned now. So, although it seems sometimes that God works slowly to us, among doing all kinds of things, it's still working. And so 71 years to God is nothing. Twinkling of an eye. So don't let's give up in believing in Jesus Christ and his save for each one of us. Just carry on believing that. So let's sing this well-known hymn together, How Great Thou Art. Thank you.
Let's hope it's a great recording.
Say again, sorry? Is he?
Right, yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Okay, well, it's good to have been here this morning. There are one or two people not here, but it doesn't matter. Hope they've been with us on Zoom. And so we thank the Lord for that, don't we? All these technical things that you can do now that you couldn't before. I've just knocked the mic, which Bruce won't like. But yes, otherwise, yes, it's very good, isn't it? Marvellous. So let's say the blessing or the grace together, and we can look at each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.